Who can understand the problems, the fears and worries of veterans and military service members better than someone who has served? That's the idea behind Buddy to Buddy, the only program of its kind in Michigan, peer support, veterans helping other vets and service members. Stephanie Zarb is an Air Force veteran. She was deployed twice to Afghanistan and for counter-narcotics missions in South America. Now she's program manager for the Buddy to Buddy Volunteer Veteran Program. And one of the volunteers is here, Ron Springer. He's been with Buddy to Buddy since 2013. He served in the Army during the Vietnam War, a platoon leader in the 101st Airborne. Welcome to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
How, Stephanie, has Buddy to Buddy evolved and changed? Because I know the program began in 2009, so with a few years under its belt, how has it changed?
Well, we were actually started as a program to serve the needs of Michigan's returning veterans who back in 2009 were our National Guard members, our National Guard and Reserve members. Most people maybe don't necessarily know this, but here we are a Guard and Reserve state, meaning that we have no active duty bases here in Michigan. Under the current conflicts, at sometimes during the current conflicts, more than 40% of all deployed troops have been our National Guard and Reservists. But there wasn't exactly a great plan worked out for what to do when these folks were coming home. The folks at the University of Michigan got together with leadership at the Michigan Army National Guard and came up with this idea of Buddy to Buddy. And so for our first few years, we worked exclusively in Michigan National Guard armories working with those returning soldiers. But what we realized in those early years is that this program was really effective and really doing great things. So in 2013, we really opened it up to all service members and veterans, any era of service. You know, we started helping everybody. And today we actually do more work out in the community than we're doing in the armories, which has been kind of a big switch.
What's the actual mission? What are you sending these trained volunteer vets out to do?
To change the lives of Michigan's veterans for the better. It was sort of a mission that was born very much out of the Vietnam vet generation, knowing that as a nation, we really miserably failed our Vietnam veterans when they came home. And the effect of that failure continues to influence military families today. We wanted to try and make a difference and do something different and make sure it never happened again. We now have 130 trained volunteers throughout the state of Michigan, and their mission is to find veterans in their local community who could use any type of assistance at all. So it can be legal, it can be employment, mental health, it can be really anything, just to connect with those veterans, and if they need assistance, to make sure they're aware of the programs, the many, many programs here in Michigan that take care of all of our veterans, and get them connected and help them walk with them on that journey.
And again, having someone who's done it, and Ron, I'm going to turn to you as somebody from the Vietnam generation who has decided this is worth his time in volunteering. Why did you come to Buddy and say, yep, I'm going to volunteer?
I was at a military reunion of mine in Grand Rapids, and I saw a bunch of the soldiers going up to the mezzanine, and I went up there, and I saw the Buddy to Buddy group. I said, what do you do? And they told me what they did, and I said, I want to do that.
Why?
Because I wanted to help veterans. I was lucky coming home from Vietnam. I had a good support network, my parents. I got back into school, transferred to Michigan State, and I was lucky. It went kind of bing, bang, boom for me when I came home. But I know so many were not lucky. And with these soldiers, I came to see, and it became readily apparent within a short time, that there's a closer bond between the Iraq, Afghanistan military and the Vietnam vets than there ever was between the Vietnam vets and the older generation. I've met veterans that were going on their second tour, and I said, let me know if you need anything. And they'd let me know, and I'd send them things that they couldn't get, because there's always things that you can't get in a combat zone. One soldier's fiance said, why does he do this? And he said, because he understands, Noel. He understands.
Mm-hmm. Why is it so hard for veterans and military service members to kind of go, you know what, I'm in a jam and I need help?
We're actually trained not to. In a combat situation, you don't need a bunch of people saying, I have a headache, I can't come to work today. It just doesn't work that way. Really, since the dawn of humanity, we've been training our military folks to keep moving forward. And within the program, we talk about when you're in military training, we are trained that if we have a problem, we change our socks, we drink some water, we take some Motrin if it's really bad, and then we keep moving forward. And that's wonderful if you think about that mentality, and that's what it takes to fight these wars, and we have an amazing military force. The issue is when we come back from that military experience and try to be civilians again, that mindset is seen as aggressive and it's not very good at problem solving. There's really sort of no transition process. There is a transition assistance program, but it takes a lot longer than that. It's sort of like if you woke up in France tomorrow, you'd realize you're in a foreign country. You'd ask your neighbors for some help. You'd figure out how to pay bills. How do I get a job? This is a really different place. Well, when you get out of the military, you wake up in a foreign country, but you don't even know you're in one, really.
Yeah.
It takes, I think, another veteran who understands that, who can talk to you in that veteran language and understands that mindset to sort of help you baby step back into what it is to become a civilian again.
So you almost don't know what you don't know once you come back.
Right.
And you, Ron, actually go where they're training. My understanding is you will never ask someone, are you okay? Why is that?
Because you get a yes or no answer. We ask them, how are things going? How's things going with the family? So you get an answer that starts spilling the beans, if you will, and telling you, well, yeah, things are going okay. Well, okay, maybe, yeah, my wife lost her job last week, and one of our kids has got some issues. It's gradual. They just don't come out and just, I can't write that fast. No, it's very gradual.
So you have to be a good listener.
And that is one of the things we're taught, because mm-hmm. we all like to tell our war stories and stuff, but listening is the biggest part. And I'll give you an example of one soldier, a tough, big, burly, mm-hmm. tough soldier. His command said, Ron, you need to talk to him. And he knew that I was the buddy to buddy. Everybody knew who everybody was. The soldier, you know, during the training, he says, I'll come up, get with you later. And he says, let's go for a walk. And we walked outside, and I didn't say a word. We walked down the sidewalk, and this tough guy mm-hmm. said, this is really hard for me. I mean, just really hard for him to let somebody see inside. And we're not done yet. I think things are better with him, not due to my part, but they've equalized a little bit. But that's the basis of it. It's so hard for them to come out and say things.
And when they do come out and say things, what are the kinds of problems, Stephanie, that your volunteers are hearing?
It can be everything from finding homeless veterans, sometimes with children, and working with them for 3 and 4 years and working through all different resources to get them into education, sustainable jobs, housing, sort of the whole gamut. And then we have other things that are a little more interesting. We had somebody who called in who it was his lifelong dream to be a chemist in the state of Michigan. Well, I barely passed Gen Chem, so I wasn't the right person to help him. But we actually have a volunteer in our volunteer corps that's a retired chemist with the state. And so we paired him up, and you just never know what you're going to get. This is my 4th year with the program, and you'd think, you know, I'm not going to see anything new, but I see new things, new requests coming in every day. And to this date, we've never turned anyone away. We've always been able to find something to try and help move forward. The types of referrals we make, the number one referrals to service officers to look at benefits and that side. The number two referral that we make, though, is actually to other volunteers and personal networks to try and really problem solve with veterans and help them find a way to improve their quality of life.
And I know, Stephanie, your own story here. You've been on 2 tours of duty for Operation Enduring Freedom, and you had a master's degree, and you came out and could only come up with a minimum wage job.
I was working part-time at a pain clinic for minimum wage, and I'd been out for about 6 months. I tell the story not because it's uncommon, but because
right.
it's very common, but also because I'm representative of the veteran population in the sense that I was fairly highly educated, had management experience, but just couldn't translate that. I just didn't know how to find a job. I didn't know how to translate what I'd done in the military, and it was very hard to find somebody that was willing to take a chance. I got very lucky. I got a phone call from my friend of mine who said, do you want to come train Turkish military officers for Boeing? And I said, absolutely. So I headed out to Seattle and I did that for a year. But what I didn't know was most of the people that work for Boeing Defense are veterans. And so when I got there, they said, well, you're eligible for VA healthcare. Why are you paying for healthcare out of pocket? Which at the time, you know, I was paying for this catastrophic insurance plan that was very expensive. You're eligible for all these different benefits. You know, we can get your migraine service connect, all these different things. I had no idea. And it was wonderful for me, but then I was thinking, well, why isn't somebody doing something? Why isn't somebody helping with this? And of course, I stumbled across the Buddy to Buddy program at the University of Michigan and just had to get involved. I started there in 2013, and they haven't been able to get rid of me yet.
How many total have you reached, do you think?
It's almost impossible to say for
yeah.
sure, because usually, and this is great if you have kids, it's a great way to embarrass them. If I'm out for dinner and I see a veteran hat, I'm going to stop and talk to that person, and I might help them on the spot, and I don't go back and record
sure.
it as I'm supposed to. And I'm the program manager, so you can imagine how
I'm
that multiplies. Right, by all the volunteers. To date, on paper, we can show how we've worked with well over 3,000 service members and veterans. Typically, the ones that get logged are the more complicated and involved situations where we have multiple people working on them and we follow them for years. Unofficially, I'd say the number's easily twice that.
What do you each, and I'm going to start with you, Ron, what do you want to say to any service members, veterans, or family members who are listening to us talk right now?
That if they have an issue that is in the formative stages or any stage, but especially if you can catch something early, to contact buddytobuddy.org. Because sometimes, as with anything we learned in life, I think most of us were told by our parents at an early age, if you'd come to me earlier with this, it would have been easier. Come to us and let us take a shot at seeing what if we can help, because it's totally confidential. And that's a big foundation of the program. We don't talk with officers, NCOs, family members, really nobody, and mention a name. It's totally confidential. And we can, there's probably nothing, as Stephanie said, that we haven't seen. Yeah. Virtually nothing. And we can help. So give us a try.
It has to feel good for you 45 years later that here you are able to do what you wanted to do for today's military members.
Well, a former supervisor of mine said when I retired from the planning department, he says, now you can go out and do something you had a passion for. Unfortunately, I don't get paid, but I have a passion. And when the soldiers get to know you, as staff told us, it'll take, depending on the unit and your interaction and everything, it could take 3, 4, 5 months. But when they get to know you and when you go out to the field with them at Grayling and one of the soldiers says, Ron's here, talk with Ron if you got any things you need to talk about. That's when you know you're part of them. And you start to feel just a little bit younger until I look in the mirror.
And Stephanie, what do you want to say to any service members, any veterans who are listening?
You're not alone. You know, it feels very lonely to be a veteran. And I don't care if you came back 45 years ago or if you came back yesterday. It's very lonely. If you reach out to us, you don't have to ask for help. We'll just sit down and talk to you. We'll listen to what you have to say. We'll try to identify what red flags, what resources might be out there. So this isn't a call saying I need help. This could just be a call. Talk to another veteran who's been there. You may not even know that you're eligible for things that are out there. You're not alone. Please give us a call.
Tell me your most significant case, the one that really sticks in your heart, Ron.
It comes about as part of life experiences. I left the city at one point and took a private sector job, and management went in a different direction, and I was laid off a year and a half later. But I didn't burn a bridge. I mean, one of the fellows there was mad that I was getting laid off. And so I bounced, and I found some jobs. And then that fellow later became the manager, and now this he has his own company, which leads me to this issue where I was told that a couple with three kids, he had just had job issues. Their one car with 200,000 miles got a new transmission through the Veterans Trust Fund, and then the other car died on the highway. And they were in dire straits, lived out of town, 30 miles in the country. And so I started trying to think who would maybe give me a deal on a car, which we all know is, doesn't happen too much. But I asked my friend, who owns his own company now, if he knew any car dealers, and he asked me why. And I said, because I got to get a car for this family. And he said, where do you usually go? And I said, well, Wounded Warriors sometimes has some, but they're in southeast Michigan, and it'll take some time. And he said, well, what do you pay for them? And I said, well, they find that they have to spend about $7,500 for a decent used vehicle. 20 minutes later, I get an email from my friend, says, what if I buy two? And so I called the family back. I said to the wife, are you sitting down? She goes, no, why? Is there more bad news? And I said, no, actually, we've got a car for you, but we just don't know what it is yet. So that was a combination of not burning a bridge, of staying in touch with people. You never know where people are going to end up. And this person said their mission statement for their company was to help veterans. So, I mean, I look like a hero, and it was strictly just coming together.
Connecting. Well, you can find more information on the Buddy to Buddy program by going to buddytobuddy.org. You can find them on Facebook, or you can call 888-82-BUDDY. That's 888-82-BUDDY. Ron Springer and Stephanie Zarb with Buddy to Buddy, thank you so much for your service, each of you, and thank you for what you do for our veterans and for our service members.
Thank you for your support, and thank you so much for having us.